wish you on a Hanukkah Sameach, Lichtiger Hanukkah per se, Hanukkah that we should see Nisim by Mimahim with Manazeh. Just because it's Hanukkah, I thought I'd just bring in a few points of Hanukkah before we go back to Hilchos Shabbos. Hanukkah is a time where we saw miracles, which brought the miracles to us. And in deference to Purim, which is also a Drabonon Dika, Yom Tov that was added later, Hanukkah, we do not see the issue of celebrating through food. It is a chag of Lehoides and Lehalel, whereas Purim is Sos and the Simcha, is we have one of the mitzvahs is Sudas Purim. And therefore we see the Ikka of Hanukkah is to recount the Nisim, is to talk about the Nisim. And if you do make a Suda, there is a Inyan to make a Suda. It's not the main part of Hanukkah, but those who do it, there is an Inyan to do it. Then the correct thing to do is at your Suda to discuss and to talk about the Nisim that happened, and that way you make it into a Suda's mitzvah. We say Ala Nisim, we say Ala Nisim in Shemoneh Esrei, we say Ala Nisim in Benching, but it's not an integral part of tefillah or benching, and therefore if it was left out, if it was missed, it would not repeat neither Shemoneh Esrei nor benching if one left out Ala Nisim. What one can do is at the end of Shemoneh Esrei or at the end of benching, you can say the Harachamon that's printed, Harachamon who asked to Yasilan or Nisim, Moshe asked to Mimahim of Manazes, and Musa Patef, one can then fill it in afterwards at the end of benching, the end of davening, end of Shemoneh Esrei. Another halacha that is yet to come, meaning we haven't missed this halacha yet, is that after Hanukkah, the leftover oil, the leftover wicks, those type of things have kedusha. They were set aside for mitzvah. And just like on Hanukkah, we say, en lanu reshus l'shtamish b'hem, there's a certain form of forbidden benefit from it. And therefore, it remains that way. There's a discussion since the halacha is that the candles only have to burn a half an hour, if you purposely put in more oil, then they should burn more than half an hour. So, and they burned for half an hour, and now they went out. The extra oil that you put in is what's left over. Is that also asked by Hanukkah? It's a discussion. The minig is to be machmir. Therefore, anything that was left over on the last night, zikha was left over on any night, you can use again for the next night. That's not a problem. Using from one kind of candle to the next kind of candle, that's no problem. You can mitzvah to reuse your wicks because they light better after they've been used once. Obviously, if they're too far burnt and there's nothing left of the wick, they go for replace them. It's also a mitzvah that things should be done for Tera Pidur. We know it says Harogu Bener, Zohir Bener, the Lashon. Someone who is careful, someone who does candles, will have children who are Tamid Chachamim. They'll tell us to refer to Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles. And one of the explanations is Hazohir, someone who is careful, someone who goes out of their way to make sure that it's something done properly and nicely. That's what the reward is, to have one in Tamid Chachamim. Therefore, you do what's good, what's available, what's fitting for to make your candles nice, whether it's old wicks or new wicks, depending on the situation. But on the last day, anything that's left over should not be reused. And we might think that if you can use it from one night to the next, you can use it from one Hanukkah to the next. And in the past, we say better not to use it from one Hanukkah to the next, because we're afraid that if you put them aside and leave them lying around, what's going to happen is they're going to be forgotten that they belong to Hanukkah, and they're going to be used for other uses, and might come to early data color, a mistake might happen, and therefore we don't want them to be lying around too long, and therefore one should discard them in a proper manner once Hanukkah is over, not leaving for the next year. The most appropriate way to discard them is to burn them, but it's not chiyuv. One doesn't have to do it that way. You can. It's a tashmisha mitzvah. So tashmisha mitzvah may be nizrakim, may be thrown out. As long as you don't do a design to it, so you can pour it out, which you can put into a plastic bag and throw them out. For pyromaniacs, this is a wonderful opportunity to be machmir, and you can go and make a fire and burn it all up. One of my favorite.
Yeah. I'm sorry, finish your sentence and I'll ask.
Okay. I just said it's one of my favorite parts of Hanukkah.
Okay, so I have two or three questions, and actually one's a comment. Rebbetzin Kornfeld said that she she gets a can from food and she burns the wicks in the can on the merpeset. That's just an idea. Now, the other thing is, it's about Alla Nisim. If you miss Alla Nisim by benching, then there's a Harachman later on to catch it.
Yes.
Okay, so if you miss Alla Nisim by Modim, what can you do something?
We can say the same for Harachman, and you can say it in Elakar Netzar. After you finish Maesim, you don't need Tachnunim, you can add it in over there.
Is that where you put your Posuk? The same places where you say your
Yes.
So you say the same Harachman and you can put it there.
Correct.
Oh, yes. Super. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay. And another thing to mention is that there's an Indian brought down to have milchiks on Hanukkah, and the reason for it brought down is that to commemorate a nace that took place under their milchiks. There was an awful zera that the Greeks had enacted that a girl on her wedding night had to spend the night with the local governor before she went to be with her husband. And there was a very brave woman by the name of Yehudis who was in this situation, and when she got to the governor's place, she fed him milchiks and cheeses and things like that, which made him very drowsy. And once he fell asleep, she decapitated him. And not only did she end his life, but she took his head with and brought it back to Yerushalayim, and they hung his head on the wall through Yerushalayim, and the Syrians woke up the next morning. They waited for their captain to wake up, and he didn't. Eventually, they discovered there was a reason why he didn't wake up. It's because someone had separated his head and shoulders, and that seemed to cause a lot of problem getting up the next morning. And when they discovered that, they were so frightened that they deserted camp. This story did not happen at the same time as the Hanukkah story. It happened quite a number of years prior to the Hanukkah story, but there's two things about the story that's relevant to Hanukkah. First of all, as far as I know, the Yehudis was part of the Hashmonean family, but even more than that is that the army that she did this to was the same Greek army, the same authority that later they would defeat in the Hanukkah story, and therefore it was one of the battles towards the whole war against the Greeks, and therefore it is relevant to the same battle that they encountered at the time of Hanukkah. And therefore, it is an opportunity that once we mentioned Hanukkah, that we mentioned this particular battle and this particular incident, which commemorates this woman's valor and bravery that she did such a thing. And we have a similar thing that on Purim, there's a minhag that people have to eat zaroinim, to eat seeds, to commemorate a nace that happened with Daniel, and even though that happened prior to the Purim story, Daniel was before the Purim story, it was also in Galus Bavel, but prior to it, and therefore we see that sometimes we use an opportunity to mention something that was not at the same time, but also relevant. So during Hanukkah, we eat milchiks to the story. This is also brought down, actually, as one of the Makoros, why women are chayav in Hanukkah candles. There's an expression in the Chazal that Afken Hayu Ba'osa HaNes. They were also included in this Nes. And therefore, because of that idea that the Nes happened with them, to them as well, therefore they also Chayav in Mitzvah, even though it's a Mitzvah Sasesha as Mangrama, it's a positive commandment that is time related. Nevertheless, women are Chayav in it. There's two explanations brought over here. Is it because the nace took place through a woman, or because women were included in the Xera and they were saved from the decrees? There's two ways of looking at it, but women were also included in what happened over here, and therefore women are hired in Hanukkah just like men are. At Kerekah, no difference in the theory of a woman can be mighty a man by lighting candles for him. Meaning is that when we light on the street, because the mitzvah is made, that we light outdoors, no. Whether people Makayim that is a whole sugya, and that's everybody with their minute, we're not going to get into it, but the original Kiyum, everybody agrees. Even those who light indoors today but agree that originally the Takana was, it's an outdoor Takana. Therefore, it is not they didn't set it up that women are the one who's going to be the one to light candles for the household, for the whole household, because an outdoor mitzvah is usually given to a man. But a woman is high just like a man, and the man is not home, but she's going to light, whether it's inside or outside. That's one of the reasons given why despite the fact that we mekayim 100 min 100, which means that everybody in the household lights candles, nevertheless we keep this only to the male members of the household and not the female members, is one of the explanations given is because it's a outdoor mitzvah, and therefore the mahadrin part of the mitzvah we only apply to men and not to women. That's one of the reasons given. But essentially, women are chayav in Chanukah, the inyanim of mitzvahs of Chanukah, just like a man is fine. Okay, so that was just a couple of halachas that had to do with Hilchos Chanukah, and now we'll use the rest of the time to go back to what we were discussing in Hilchos Shabbos. So in Hilchos Shabbos, we were discussing the halachas of a basis. A basis is something which, as a result of it being there to serve something which is muktzah, an item which serves muktzah, whether it's holding the muktzah up or the muktzah is hanging on it, the item takes on the status of the muktzah that was put on it with various conditions. In a second, the basic idea of we had seven conditions that we listed previously. The basic idea is that in order for an item to become a basis, we say that the muktzah has to be placed on it in a way that it was understood that it's going to stay there over Shabbos, whether because that's its place, or he placed it there thinking it's going to stay there on Shabbos. He didn't think about it, but he didn't think the opposite. It has to be what we call b'menia, placed there on purpose. It has to be with the das of the owners. And it also has to be that the muktzah is the more chashuv item, either the only item or the most chashuv item on that is placed on top of the other item. Only then does it become muktzah. That's a summary of what we've said until now. And I would carry on discussing that. So if you have your candlesticks on the table becomes muktzah if the candlesticks were there for the duration of the Hashmoshes. Even if late in the evening you're going to have a goy clear up the table and take the candlesticks off, the table remains basis. It has got the status of muktzah and remains muktzah the whole of Shabbos. If, however, you placed challah on the table before Ben HaShemoshes and then let the challah stay there for the whole Ben HaShemoshes, and even though after Ben HaShemoshes the challah was removed to eaten or put somewhere else relevant, nevertheless, during Ben HaShemoshes the table was now called a basis of davar ha'asur v'hamutar. It's a basis to two items, to something mutar and something asur. And as long as the asur was not more chashuv than the mutar, then the table is mutar, is not considered a basis. So, what do we mean by chashuv? First of all, that it's not always a question of monetary value. It's also a question of how much you need it and how important it is to you. So your challahs, although generally speaking, are worth less than your candlesticks, nevertheless, your challahs are a very important ingredient to your Friday night meal, and therefore, in your eyes right now, they are very valuable, and therefore they take away the status of a basis on the table which they rest. That's number one. Number two, the table, as we said, because it has these two items on it, gets it in of a basis, the davar ha'asur v'hamutar. It's holding up two different items. Therefore, it doesn't get the status of a regular basis. Therefore, so long as the muktzah is on it, we don't want to move the table because of the table you need in the muktzah. But if the muktzah was removed, then the table is no longer muktzah, and the table can be moved. Not only that, not only does the table not become muktzah, so that when the muktzah is taken off, you can move the table, but also, while the muktzah is on the table, there are cases where you can move the table. And that is, we gave an example, if you have money on your pillow, something like that, that you can do what's called niur. Niur is to shake it off. That means if you have an item that on top of it is muktzah, you can take that item and shake off the muktzah, and the item, if didn't have the conditions that made it into a basis, the muktzah was near ben hashmashes, the muktzah was put there b'shacheach and b'meneach, it was forgotten there, not placed there, whatever the example, whatever the rules we gave before apply, then you can do niur, you can shake off the muktzah, and the item now can be used like any other item on Shabbos. So your Shabbos table, you can lift up the one side, tilt it, the candlesticks go rolling off the table, land on the floor, and the table can be moved. So that is another way that you can move the table. But what happens if your candlesticks are still burning and you need to move the table? And the candles, if you lift the table and roll them off, not only might cause a fire, but if you've got oil candles, then when you tilt the oil affects the movement of the oil would affect the way the candle burns. It could be a problem of Mavir. There's an Isidore Raisa to tilt an oil candle on Shabbos. Or, even if your candles have gone out, but you have delicate silver candlesticks, you have glass cup that holds the candle inside, or various things like that, it's going to dent, it's going to bend, it's going to break. So you're not mechuyev to sustain a loss in order to do niur. And if for whatever practical reason it's not possible to do niur, then you're not mechuyev to do niur. And if you want to move the table, so now you can't just move the table for any sake, there's going to be a reason, but you may move the table with the candlesticks on it if you cannot get rid of the candlesticks. So if your table, say you're setting up your living room and the table is in the wrong place, because you now have a different setup of how you want the people at the table the next morning and you need the space, whatever the case may be. So you can move the table, and if you cannot shake off the candlesticks, you move the table with the candlesticks, but it's considered sorech makoma of the table. You need the place where the table is, and therefore you can move it. So that is how we deal with a bosses adavara osav v'hamut. Now, what is the din of the tablecloth? Because essentially, bosses works all the way through. You have the mukta is, there's a good chayla over here. What is the mukta in the area of candlesticks? But let's call it, it's a simple explanation that the fire, the flame, is the mukta. Why that is so is a discussion which I'm not going to get into, but let's say the flame is the mukta, therefore the candles are holding the flame, the candlesticks are holding the candles, the tray is holding the candlesticks, the tablecloth is underneath the tray, and the table is underneath the tablecloth. Therefore, you've got a bosses all the way through, and therefore the table, the tablecloth, the tray, the candlesticks, the candles are all a bosses to the shalheves. There are those who say that the tablecloth does not help in any way to hold up the candles. The candles would fall over if they're not in candlesticks. Candlesticks would be on the floor if it wouldn't be a table. But if there's a tablecloth is there, the tablecloth, it's not doing anything. It just happens to be it was sandwiched between the candlesticks and the table, but it's not really holding up the candles. Therefore, there's actually the machlokes have to deal with the tablecloth. Some say the tablecloth doesn't pick up books at all, and some say only the place where the candlesticks are sitting on, that little area, will become books for the rest of it not. Which would have an interesting nafkamina, or interesting way of understanding it. If you say that just that area of the tabletop becomes mukta, so, in case I think it's a mukta, I think it's the Taza says that when you talk about, when you make a moitzi, you should cover your challah underneath and on top with a cloth, so the challah sits on the tablecloth. You can take the edge of the tablecloth and throw it over your challah, so now your challahs are covered on two sides. This is, that's not a problem. Your tablecloth is not mukta. You can take your tablecloth and use it. So if you don't have a challah cover available, you can use your tablecloth to cover the challahs. So it's not mukta, it's not a problem. If the candles were removed from the table in any way, kids took them off, they fell off, goy took them off, whatever the case may be, and now you want to put away the tablecloth, so according to the Manda Omar, according to the opinion that holds, that the part where the candlestick stood is mukta, so one may remove the tablecloth and put it away, but one should be careful to not hold it at that particular place, hold it from the other corners. If you're unable to, you don't know exactly where that is, so then we say it's a sopik and you don't have to worry about it. That what we said, that a table which is holding candlesticks, but also chalas, and now it's a bosses of davar osuper hamotur, we said you can move the table even with the candles on it, but you can't get rid of the candles. However, the movement that you're doing must be sort of kufa makoma of the table, meaning that it must be done for the sake of, it must be done for the sake of the table and not for the sake of the candles. Therefore, as I said, you had your table set up a certain way Friday night, Shabbos morning you need it set up in a different way, and you can't get rid of the candlesticks that are still on the table, so you can move the table because you had your chalas on it to Erev Shabbos, so it's not a bosses, but it must be for the purpose of the purpose of the table, because you need the place where the table was, or you need the table for something else, so then you can move it. But if you do it for, if you do it for the candles, that will be awesome. Let's give an example, and relevant to the season that we're in now, in Yonah Diyom of Hanukkah, you take a little table and you put it outside your door and you put your menorah on that little table, and that is where you light your candles during Hanukkah, including Friday night. Obviously in a way that when you open your front door, it doesn't blow out the candles, could be a problem. You couldn't open your front door so long as the candles are burning, or you don't have any protection, and therefore you just don't open your front door. Now comes the candles have burned themselves out, they've gone out, and you want to bring the menorah back into the house. So I can't do Neor because they're all glass cups. If I shake it off the silver table, it'll just fall on the floor and break it into a million pieces. So I'm not makoyev to do Neor. So I would say, well, since I'm not makoyev to do Neor, so what did I do? Erev Shabbos, I put something important on this table. So the table shouldn't become a bosses and become mukta, but rather it's a boss with davar as not mutter. I put my chumish there. My chumish is something that I need over Shabbos. So I left it there in the shmashes. I left my chumish there over during the shmashes, and now it doesn't get the status of a bosses. And I said I can move it, and I can't do Neor. So essentially, I can bring that table back into the house after the candles have burned out. So now we ask, the question is, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because it's your silver menorah and you don't want to leave it outside, you don't even know it to get stolen, so you're doing it for the sake of the mukta item? Then we say that's awesome. You may not move the table for the sake of the mukta item, even though the table is not a boss. But if you're doing it because it's in the doorway and you can't close the door properly, you can't get through the doorway properly, and now you, what's called tzarech mekoymoy, or you want to use this table as an area that you're going to serve from, so you need the extra area on the table, and you need the table itself, so then you're allowed to move it, because that's considered tzarech gufo mekoymoy of the table. The table has a use, since it's not a bosses, because you had your chumash on there, ben hashmashes, so therefore we're allowed to move it tzarech gufo mekoymoy, then you can bring the table in, because, as you said, it's in the way, it cannot lock up my front door, and therefore I need its place. Even though my real intention is that I want my silver menorah to get stolen, so nevertheless, on Erev Shabbos, when you light the candles, you can put it in a way that, knowing that after it goes out, it will get in the way and I'll have to move it, that is fine, because essentially you're moving it to Tzarech Goymoy. And the fact that you have a secondary gain that you're saving your menorah, not leaving it outside, your silver menorah leaving it outside for someone to take, that is a secondary gain. It's not your main reason that you're moving it. Or rather, even if it is your main reason, but it's not, there is a heter to move it, so therefore you may do it. Okay. Couple of other interesting halachas that have to do with bosses is if you have a all-purpose drawer. There's that one drawer in the kitchen where you keep everything. And, you know, those things that fall on the floor, sure, everybody has a drawer like that in the kitchen. Some people, it might be organized with scissors, sellotape, paper clips, and whatever. Organized, and other people just put it all in. You have the scissors and sellotape, whatever. But we all have that type of drawer in our kitchen. What is the status of such a drawer? Because what you got inside here is a mix of items that are mukta, not mukta. Okay, if it's a kitchen scissors, it's only used for opening up food items. So we said earlier that scissors is a double mukta, it's not mukta. But you might have a pen in there, or it might be a regular scissors used for all items. It would be like regular scissors, it would be mukta. So sometimes you have mukta things. We have toothpicks in our all-purpose drawer. Toothpicks are not mukta on Shabbos. So what do you do with such a drawer? So essentially the halakha is that you look at the collection of items and see what is more chashuv. If you have items that are not mukta, that are more chashuv than the mukta, then the drawer is a basis davra asim hamutar, which means you can open it if you need something inside it, because the place you need to get hold of something inside it. And if the open drawer gets in the way, you can close it again. But if the more kosher items in this drawer are the mukta items, then the drawer is actually mukta and should not be open on Shabbos. Now, even if when you placed your mukta items through the pens in there, you didn't think, oh, I'm putting a pen in this drawer to save it for Shabbos, but that is where the pens were kept. And even if you didn't put any pens in on Friday or Thursday, your pen was put in 2 weeks ago on a Sunday. Nevertheless, this is where they kept, and this is done. Our Bas Ken is going to be here over Shabbos, because this is what this drawer does. That is also considered as Menia, and if your pens are more Choshuv, then your Muktis, your non-Muktis scissors, then we'll say the drawer is in Bas. If you have a drawer that we mentioned, I think, last week, if you have a drawer like this that's connected to your table, then the drawer can become a bosses, but the table doesn't become a bosses to the drawer. because if the drawer is attached to the table in a way that it cannot be removed, so you look at the drawer as something which is insignificant in relation to the table, and the table cannot become a bosses for the drawer. It's not like the table's holding up the drawer and there to serve the table's not there to serve the drawer, and therefore doesn't become a bosses to the drawer if they're one and if they're built in together you can't remove them. If it was removable, then in the Hanami, just like we said, the candle is mukta, the candle's mukta, the candlestick is mukta, the table's mukta. So then you could say if the drawer is removable, then you have a mukta in the drawer is mukta, and the table will become mukta if it's a removable tablet. Therefore, if you have such a table and you want to move it over Shabbos, make sure you put some kashrut on the table. If the mukta item that you have in this drawer that you've got a whole bunch of things are really insignificant things, then you don't worry about it. For example, if you have a 10 agorah coin, not a significant amount of money, and that's what's in the drawer, or just thinking about it, in our all-purpose drawer, we keep old batteries that are just a place to keep them before they go for recycling. Those batteries have no value. The only reason we don't throw them out is we try to be a bit more careful and recycle them. But they have no value. I'm not going to use them. I can't sell them. They're insignificant. So that would fit into a case of something which is mukta, but it's insignificant. Then we say that you don't have to worry about the mukta becoming a bosses to something which is so insignificant. Therefore, the drawer can be open and closed for Shabbos. Another point to talk about in such a drawer is you have to look at what type of mukta you have inside. If you have real mukta, that's worth value that you're not going to be using for anything else, either because it's lacking and it's definitely clean. And it's a mukta machas gufo, or it's something expensive, you're not going to use it for anything else. That's mukta machas kesaron kis. So then it's fully mukta, then the drawer, if it gets the status of bosses, will have the same status of mukta that you cannot move it for no excuse. You may not move it. But if what's in the drawer is a tishan machas isor, like we said, a pen is made to write with, a scissors is mukta because you're going to cut paper with it. Those items you said, tishan machas isor, you're allowed to move them, sorry, go for makoyim. You're allowed to take a hammer to hit your nut. You're allowed to take a scissors to cut open your milk bag was an example we brought. So too, if that's what makes the bosses, then the bosses itself can't be more chomer than the mukta itself. Therefore, the bosses can be moved. Also, tzarek gufa makomis. If you need something in the drawer, you can take it open to take something out, even if the mukta is more chashul, because the drawer can't be more stringent than the mukta itself. Okay, we've run out of time. There's still more on this chapter. We'll get back to it next week. Maybe we'll talk about tzarek Davis before we get back to it. Meanwhile, I'm going to wish everybody a good day and a wonderful Hanukkah, and we meet.